Savior. Amen. You know, we hear people say a lot of different things. But let me tell you a few things I'm sure you've never heard people say. For example, let's say there's a man working on his house and he happens to hit his thumb with a hammer. And he yells out, "Gautama Buddha!" Or let's say there's a woman driving down I-94 when suddenly her right front tire blows out and in a moment of panic she says, "Mohammed!" Or maybe there's a basketball player. He misses his sixth shot in a row during a championship game. The coach almost pulls his hair out and he yells, "Confucius!" Finally, there's a woman who buys 10 lottery tickets and wins nothing. So she throws the worthless tickets into the trash and says, "Billy Graham." I'm assuming you've never heard such things. But I'd like you to raise your hand tonight if you've ever heard people say, "Jesus Christ." Interesting. Now please understand, there's nothing wrong with the words Jesus Christ. I use those words all the time in worship. The problem is that we sinners use God's name in ways He never intended. Think about it. Why is it that you never hear people curse with the words Billy Graham or Confucius? Why is it that the name of God's Son is singled out for use in evil and foul language? Could it be that there is something special about God's name? You bet there is. That's the reason the devil tempts people to use God's name along with other four-letter words. The devil wants us to forget that God's name is holy. Now, of course, we shouldn't be surprised when unbelievers misuse God's name, but the sad truth is that even we Christians are guilty of this sin. In fact, tonight we're going to find out that we all break the second commandment more often than we imagine. I'd like you to turn in the front part of your hymnal to page 300. If you do that, page 300 in the front part of your hymnal. And when you get there, you will note that you will see Martin Luther's Small Catechism. That's right, it's in the hymnal. And what we're going to do, first of all, is read the second commandment together. And then we're going to read the "What Does This Mean?" written by Martin Luther. But first, let's read out loud the second commandment right there in the left column on page 300, about in the middle. The second commandment, let's read it together. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God." Now, what does that mean? Let's read Luther's explanation. "We should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by His name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks." Now, Luther's explanation shows us that we break the second commandment not only when we use God's name for evil, but also when we fail to use God's name in good ways. However, let's start with how we use God's name for evil. First, what does it mean to curse? Simply put, to curse means that we want God to damn a person to hell. I mean, how often in our lives haven't we heard someone say, "God damn you," or "God damn so-and-so." In fact, we even foolishly will ask God to damn objects and situations. But my friends, it doesn't matter if we're actually asking God to damn a person, or if we're simply saying "God damn blank" as some meaningless exclamation. In either case, we are misusing God's name. Let's think about it a little more. If we hate someone so much that we want God to damn that person to hell, then I think we have forgotten that we deserve the same fate. In fact, we've forgotten how much God did for us on the cross when we had done nothing but speak hatred toward Him. In addition, if we use God's name as nothing more than a meaningless exclamation, then we are treating God's name as that it were totally meaningless. Next, what does it mean to swear? Well, the word swear comes from the courtroom, where people promise to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and they swear by God's name that they will do just that. But we all know how often people have lied in court, and they used God's name to give credibility to their lies. However, we are also guilty of this when we make promises to people in God's name and then later break those promises. If we are sincerely telling the truth, then by all means we can swear by God's name in good conscience. But if we associate God's name with our lies, if we associate with God's name promises that we can't keep, then we are sinning greatly. Third, Luther mentions using God's name in connection with satanic arts. Simply put, this means using God's name as though it were a good luck charm. You know, the lies promoted by Satanism and the occult suggest that we can control our circumstances if we use the right ritual and speak the right words. For example, I read an article once about people who use Jesus' name in association with fortune telling or psychic readings. And then there are Christians who think that if you pray in Jesus' name, that's a way to get God to give you what you want. Simply put, using God's name as a magic word to control our circumstances is a great evil. Finally, how do we lie and deceive by God's name? Well, this happens when we use God's name to promote false teaching that conflicts with Holy Scripture. For example, just in our own country, there are many cults that use Jesus' name to promote their lies that will lead people to hell. On the other hand, there are some other people who will say, "What would Jesus do?" But then they will go on to condone sinful behavior as though Jesus would agree with them. My friends, if we use Jesus' name to give credibility to our evil opinions, then we are guilty of great sin. But there's more. We are not only guilty of using God's name in evil ways, we are also guilty of failing to use God's name in good ways. You know, the Bible says that we should cast all our anxieties on God when we are having hard times. But we're all guilty of relying on other things for comfort, aren't we? In addition, the Bible teaches that we should pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. But there are times we begin the day without even speaking to God or thanking Him. We're supposed to come to church and use God's name to praise Him, but sometimes we fail to attend church because of trivial activities or even sinful behavior that we're doing instead. Finally, when we go to bed at night, sometimes we forget to visit with God about our day, or maybe we forget to ask Him for forgiveness for the things we did wrong that day. On top of that, we also break the second commandment when we fail to witness to others. Did you know that the primary use of God's name is to tell people about Jesus so that they can call on His name and be saved? We heard that in our epistle reading when Paul wrote these words. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. My friends, God has given all of us various opportunities to speak His name to others. But sometimes we remain silent because we're afraid or ashamed, or we simply don't care. Well, by now it should be obvious to every single one of us that we're all guilty of breaking the second commandment. This fact should cause us to fear God, because God himself says, the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. We are guilty, my friends. God should look at every one of us and say, damn you. But he doesn't. Instead, listen to what God says to you. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you hear that? The God who ought to damn us tells us to call on his name for salvation. But how is that possible? Didn't God himself say, we heard it in the Old Testament reading, didn't God himself say that he will not hold guiltless those who misuse his name? You're right, he said that. God must punish our sin. And that's just what he did. Jesus took your sin of misusing God's name and he damned himself on the cross in your place. Jesus became guilty before God so that you can be guiltless before God. In fact, if you recall our gospel reading, Jesus prayed for you. Jesus said, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. How does God protect us with his name? One awesome way is holy baptism. We saw the miracle tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Your sins are forgiven. You are guiltless before God. Jesus' name be praised. Sadly, those who think that their misuse of God's name is no big deal will probably not call on Jesus' name. Those who try to erase their guilt themselves by doing some good works, they too will probably not call on Jesus' name. God knows that only those who fear his wrath and know that they deserve eternal hell, only such as these will call upon Jesus' name and be saved. My friends, that's why God uses his second commandment to expose our sin. God wants you to run to Jesus and call on his name so that you can be saved, now and for all eternity. There's one other prayer that Jesus spoke for you. Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. My friends, you have heard God's word tonight. You have heard the name of your Savior. You are guiltless before God in Jesus' name. And my friends, this same Jesus will help you to resist misusing his name. This same Jesus will move you to use his name in good ways, to call upon him in trouble, to pray, to praise, to give thanks. But most of all, Jesus is going to use you to speak his word of truth to others, so that they too may call upon his name and be saved. Amen. Now may the peace of God